Pretty sad when Reverend Scott sits down. He's almost as tall as me sitting down as I am. makes me feel real good. Next time I'm going to put his seat in the back. Hallelujah. It's an honor to have Reverend Scott here tonight. You know, a lot of you probably don't know this, but Reverend Scott, he is just an absolute blessing to all the family churches. He actually serves under Pastor Michael and is a minister out of that church. But boy, he's done so much for us. All the sound and the TVs and the live stream, and he's on the board. I'm probably leaving out about 20 things that he's done, but praise God, he's a blessing. And so it's an honor to have you here, sir. Praise the Lord. If you want to open to 1 Corinthians 11 tonight. Yeah, praise God. It seems like when Reverend Scott's here, this comes out a little bit, but you know, I always try to encourage people to put God first in their life, to seek first. You know, I'll meet with people, I'll talk with people on the phone, I'll read people's blue cards, and I'll talk to people on the way out the door, and you know that they want things changed in their life. They want things different. They're believing God for things. And you know, the Bible makes it so simple. If we would just seek Him first, all those things that we're thinking about and we're stressing about and that we're wondering about, we're wringing our hands about, the Bible says those things will be added unto us. Glory to God. And I don't know anybody that's puts the kingdom of God first more than Reverend Scott. He does. He's such a blessing to his pastor. He's such a blessing to the house of God every time he shows up. And I'll tell you, things work out in his life, and he's just going up and up and up in promotion, and you're just going to see great things. And the thing I see about his life is that he seeks first the kingdom of God. You know, when the doors are open, he's there, praise the Lord. When there's things that need to be done for the church, he's putting his life on hold for the kingdom of God. And I'll tell you what, he's blessed, amen? Maybe sometime we'll have him share the testimony of how God miraculously healed his baby boy, his firstborn son. And I'll tell you, those things don't happen by accident. Amen? God's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. And so let that be a lesson to all of us, just to be diligent, to be in church, to be doing the word, and to be a faith giant. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 28. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and let's pray. Father, we're just honored to be here tonight. Just so grateful for your word. Lord, I know that we do this every week, and I know that it can just naturally seem so repetitive, but Father, it is such an honor to not only be able to minister your word, but just to get in your word at all. And Father, we're just so thankful that you've given us your word. Father, it's enabled us to not stumble. It's enabled us to not be tripped up, for it's a light into our path. It's a lamp unto our feet. Father, everything that could possibly go wrong in our lives, Father, you have the answer for it in your word. And we're just so thankful for that, Father. And so we honor your word tonight by being hungry. And you said, Lord, that if we would be hungry for the things of God, that we'd be filled or we'd be satisfied. And Lord, we just say right now, we're hungry to hear what you have to say. Father, it's not just coming out of a preacher. It's coming from straight from heaven tonight, the word of God. And we're excited about it. Move in our midst. Be God. Father, manifest however you see fit here tonight. Speak through me, Father. We'll give you all the praise. We'll give you all the glory for it, Father God. We just love you. We glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 28. Now know this. This will help you in coming to church, but not just coming to church, but when you're here, to being excited about what's happening right now. Because every time that the word is preached, you know that the Bible calls you God's husbandry, and that might be a little blind to us in the King James, but it's God's field or God's garden. And he talks in that same scripture about Apollos and Paul, how one planted, one watered, and then God gave the increase. Well, how did Apollos plant and Paul water? Well, or Paul planted, Apollos watered, or one of the two, I'm mixing them up here, but one did one did the other. But ultimately, God gave the increase. And the reason that God gave the increase, when it says planting and watering, Apostle Paul is talking about two ministers that preach the Word of God. And every time that they preach the Word of God, they're watering God's field or they're watering God's garden. And so every time that the Word goes forth, every time you sit down and get into the Word, every time that you listen to the Word, whether it be by CD, on live stream, whatever media device you're using to listen to the word, you're watering yourself. Amen? And so that gives me opportunity to be more excited, because I know that it's not just a normal thing, that spiritually, I can't see it maybe. You know, I can go up to my plants, I can go up to a cornfield after a rain, and I can see that little blade of grass still be the same size, and it doesn't look like anything happened, but we know something did because it was watered, and it's growing on the inside. And what you can't see in our lives sometimes are most important. And what you can't see is our spirit man. And as the word goes forward, your spirit man is just like a flower soaking up the rainwater, soaking up the sun, praise God, for the ability to grow. When you grow, you increase into more, hallelujah. And I truly believe that people's attendance, mostly, you know, a lot of people are very faithful on Sundays. But I believe that when the doors are open for special guest ministers, and this isn't even my message tonight, when the doors are open on a Sunday or a Wednesday or special guest ministers, if people's mentality was this of, I need to grow, and if I don't grow, my life is going to hurt for it. And see, but people have the mentality of, I'm just coming because that's the thing to do on a Sunday morning, and you can see that they don't place value on the fact of growth and the fact of the Word of God, because that's the reason I go to all the services I go to. I don't go to impress anybody. God's not impressed by my church attendance. He's the God of the world. It's pretty hard to impress Him. Glory to God. Faith impresses Him, and sometimes it takes faith to go to a church service. It takes faith to want to get dressed. It takes faith to want to come after a long day of work. It takes faith after, you know, a nice day on a Sunday morning. We don't get very many of them to come to church or to come to guest minister meetings. But I'll tell you what, when you do, you grow. Amen? And if people would have that mentality of, I need to be there to grow, churches across the country, Wednesday nights would be packed. You know, Tuesday nights would be packed. It seems like attendances drop right off. Midweeks and special guest ministers and Sunday's your biggest. Well, what's the reason for that? It's because people don't place a value on what they need. Amen? So you're here tonight. I'm preaching to the choir. Praise God. I'm not going to get any tomatoes thrown at me tonight because you're all here. Praise God. And hallelujah. And so we're just going to grow tonight. And we're going to increase because the word's being taught. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 28 is where we'll start. It says this. It says, but let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup. Now, this is talking about, in context here, the Last Supper, when they took up, when Jesus broke the bread and said, the wine, that this is the cup and this represents the blood of me and shed for you for the New Testament. But what I want us to focus on, because it does say down in verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. And it says in verse 28, let a man examine himself. How many of you know that it's a good practice to get into as a Christian to judge yourself and to examine yourselves? To look in the proverbial or spiritual mirror, so to speak. Not necessarily, I mean, it probably would do you good to look in the natural mirror before you come to church. Make sure there's no boogers, right? Make sure there's not a hair out of place. Make sure your fly's up and it's up, glory to God. And make sure, you know, you got a nice divot and you're not, and all those good things. But it's good as a Christian at times to look at our lives and examine our lives. Because we don't want to go through this life thinking that we're knocking it out of the park, thinking we got everything handled, because we don't want to take the time to look into our life. And so tonight, I'm going to give you an opportunity to examine yourself. And I love these opportunities because, you know, we got to make sure we don't get in the ditch of examining ourselves through the eyes of condemnation or through the eyes of judgment, so to speak, of making ourselves feel bad or making ourselves, you know, beating ourselves up over the head. That's not God. That's never God. There's no condemnation. We know the story of the prodigal son. God, the dad's arms were wide open to the son that was really living wrong and doing wrong. And so God's always wanting people to jump back in with him. But if we don't examine ourselves, we won't walk into everything that God has for us. Because we need to examine ourselves to see whether or not we are in the faith, to see if we're people of faith or not. And say, how do you do that? Well, I'll give you that opportunity in a second here. Go with me to Job 22 and verse 21. This scripture, and again, Job is the book right before Psalms. This scripture, ever since the Canadian camp meeting that I was at, has been just burning in me. And I've been spending a lot of time in this scripture because it's just so wonderful. Job 22 and verse 21. Again, Job is the book right before the book of Psalms. Of course, we all know where Psalms is. It says this in verse 21. Acquaint now yourself with him. Well, the him it's talking about there is God. It says, get acquainted with God, right? Get acquainted with God. And the result will be what? And be at peace. You see that there? Thereby, or the result of acquainting yourself with God and being at peace, you can't be at peace unless you're acquainted with God, by the way. It says, and be at peace, thereby the result of being acquainted with him, or the result of taking the time to know him, taking the time to become aware of who he is, the result will be good shall come unto thee. The Amplified Bible says, great good shall come unto thee. Praise God. Now, a lot of times our minds go strictly to finances, don't they? Because, and it's just true, the number one thing that I've heard every minister tell me, and the number one thing that I've seen with my own eyes that people deal with congregation members is financial issues. Now, it's not that way, it's not solely financial issues, but the majority of the things that people struggle with and have a hard time with are finances. Well, if you study out, we know the devil has control of the economy. The devil has control of the finances on this earth. And we got to be skilled as Christians to know how to get it out of his hands and into our hands. Praise God. Which is possible to do. Which is absolutely God's plan for us to do that. But we think that it's just finances. And listen, don't get me wrong. If you're not doing well financially, it has the opportunity to rob you of your peace, to rob you of your joy. But I said this on Sunday. It's worth repeating. And again, the Amplified says, great good will come unto you. Knowing that my children are healthy is great. That's better than money. Yeah. Knowing that my children are protected, that my children are safe, that my children are taken care of, that's greater good to me than any amount of money, right? Just the fact that we all walked in here tonight, that's great good. There are people bound to wheelchairs. You know, I was on my way to church last Sunday. I was just praising God because I saw a gentleman. There's a gentleman in Jamestown, and he's kind of known in the town. He walks around town a lot, so if you drive around town, you see him, and he's blind. And it's amazing because one time I saw him start walking out onto Washington Street, which is in Jamestown, one of the busier streets, and he was using his cane and just walking right out in the middle of traffic. I mean, he is legitimately a blind person. And I saw him this Sunday coming down the hill by Friendly's on Main Street as I was going to church. And there are some branches there, and I see him, and he's walking like this, and he's smacking into them, and they're just hitting them. And I'm thinking, holy cow, Father, thank you so much that I can see the road. Thank you so much that I can that I'm so blessed to move my arms and my. I mean, I know that maybe that seems silly, but I thank you. I have fingers that I can use, and I have feet that can take me, and legs, and I can walk. And I mean, we're so blessed. My goodness, we're so blessed. And the Bible says that if you acquaint yourself with him, great good will come unto you. And so it pays to get acquainted with God. It pays to know God. And you ready to examine yourself? I brought this out on Sunday, but we'll bring it out again. You want to know if you're acquainted with God? Ask yourself these questions right now. If your source of income right now, today, all of a sudden dried up and was going to be no more, your employer came to you and said, got to let you go. And there's no promise of another job. There's no promise of disability or workman's comp or whatever they call all that stuff. If there's no promise of that and there's no paycheck coming in next week, what would your reaction be? How well you know God will determine what your reaction is to that happening. It's true. If an unexpected bill showed up in the mail that you couldn't pay for, if an unexpected expense shows up that you don't have the money for and it's got a due date on it, what would your response be? Your response will determine how well you're acquainted with God. If you went to the doctor and a blood test, they just run some normal tests, say, man, I want to check something, a blood test come back, and you get a report from the doctor that you have this, or you have this, or you have this, what would you be your response? Your response would determine how well you're acquainted or how well you know God. I'm not saying that, you know, we live in a natural body. I'm not saying that there's not that initial rush of shock and not that initial blow that the enemy and the oppression and that stuff's real, you know. I'm not saying that that's not real and there might not be a jarring. But what you do with that will determine how well you know God. I love this example that, you know, tests, It's not the test in school that's the problem. Oh, that test was so hard, and that test isn't fair, yet there's other people in the class getting 100s, other people in the class getting A's, and you know, this would have been me, you know, would have been getting the C's or the D's and the F's, and, you know, I didn't put any time in it. You know, the test wasn't the issue. The test just revealed how much I knew. And then when the tests come in people's lives, it's not the test. The Bible says what you're facing is not uncommon. In fact, the Bible says what you're facing is common to man. It's common to man. And as if God can't deal with what you're facing. Hello? Right? As if something comes across your desk and all of a sudden God is too small to handle what you're going through. Right? But that's how we react. And that's how we act sometimes. And so that test is not the issue. Oh, you know, this didn't work out because of this. No, because of that, it just revealed how little you actually knew about God. Because the people that know God, when the income dries up, praise the Lord, God's got something better for me. Amen. I know, I've had to learn this the hard way. I remember when talking with Pastor Michael about an issue that happened that would cause the church to have a little bit of financial, natural problems. And I told him, and I'm thinking, man, because I'm down. I mean, I am bummed out about this. And I'm like thinking, thank God for my mentoring to being scheduled today because I need to be with my pastor. And so I go and I tell him the situation. He smiles and says, well, praise God. And basically, just I don't want to give away too much of the situation. Basically, more money and more increase is going to come. I mean, there wasn't no, holy cow, that's terrible. Oh my gosh, that's awful. Boom, and he said, you're going to get double for your trouble. That's what he said. I said, well, there's a man that knows God. There's a man that knows God. Hallelujah. And so I've taken it upon myself. I need to know more about God. Because your reaction will determine the outcome. Because when the bill comes, or when the doctor's report comes, or when the finances are dried up, and the economy does something, the goal for that, remember the devil's plan is to send trials and tribulations and persecution for the word's sake. Try to get the word out of you. Not just you away from hearing the word, but get the word out of your mouth. What? Try to get you out of faith. The devil's trying to put you into a place of worry, trying to put you in a place of fear, trying to put you in a place of anxiety. Why? Because if he can do that, he can stop the flow of faith in your life. But see, if you know God, when all of a sudden that unexpected bill comes, I remember one time, I actually acted in faith. It's better to do that. I got a bill in the mail that was unexpected. It was something from when we were a little bit younger, and it was basically because of my, at the time, lack of being in order, and just, you know, it was unexpected to me, and it shouldn't have been unexpected is what I'm trying to say. And it was unexpected, and wow, you know, they were really on me to pay it, and we had just paid all our bills. And I wasn't getting paid for a little while, and it wouldn't even cover when I did get paid, because when I get paid again, there's more bills that need to be paid, and it's not going to cover this extra bill anyways. And I remember we got that bill, and I remembered, my God, my God, my God shall supply all my needs. Well, I showed my wife, and I don't mean to pick on my wife. We've all been there, but she said, what are we going to do? And I said, we're going to get down on our knees and act like the Bible's true. And we got down on our knees, and we said, Father, I thank you. You said you'll meet this bill. And it wasn't a week later, and a check for $1,300 unexpectedly showed up in my mailbox. Wasn't a pastor. Wasn't pastoring a church. Wasn't people in the church being good to me. I tell you, that 90% of the blessings that I get in my life come from non-church people. It's true. It just seems to be the way it is. It might even be even higher than that, but when that comes in and those unexpected things come, it'll reveal how well you know God. Amen. It'll reveal how well, because the person that knows God doesn't get a sad face. The person doesn't cry, right? It's like when Pastor Michael came and said, come here, Pastor Mike, after he's done preaching, opened the Bible, walked away, and I read it. When I sent you out with nothing, and I knew I wasn't getting a salary to start this church. Man, I'll tell you what, it was like a shot to my gut. I went home and told my wife, and she wept. So that tells you how well the Andersons knew God. I mean, we're panicking and crying and thinking, you know, we even started talking about, oh, we'll never get a house now, and just wah, wah, wah. And the Lord said, you better get in faith real quick or you're going to sink. So I started intensely finding out who my God was, because my response will determine how that outcome will turn out. It's true. You look at the children of Israel. God loved the children of Israel. He gave them a promised land. He loved them so much. And yet, because they didn't believe God, because situations arose and it knocked them back, and they were sad and they wept and they were complaining and they got out of faith, they missed out. God didn't just say, "You are such a wonderful child of mine. I love you so much. I care about you so deeply. I'm just going to let you prance right in there." No! He kept them out for 40 years. And only two got in because they acted different when the test and trial. Remember Caleb and Joshua? They went into this promised land. Imagine being promised something from God, and you go there, and all of a sudden you see giants in the land, and you see cities and walls, and you already see people inhabiting the land. Naturally, there's going to be that, "Well, what about this?" But they remembered what God said, right? And they said, "We can well overcome this. We're well able to take this." And they walked in, and the rest wandered in 40 years, and their carcasses fell in the wilderness, and they didn't get it. Hallelujah. And so how well you know God, ask yourself those questions. If something like that happened, what would be my response? Would it be, "Praise God, I know my God's my provider"? Or, "Holy cow, I've had more faith in my paycheck than I have my God. I've had more faith in my job, in the consistency of my job. I've had more faith in those things than I have my God." You know that most people have more faith in their weekly income than they do their own God. But I don't remember the Bible saying, "My God shall supply all your needs according to your salary." I don't remember Him saying, "My God will supply all your needs according to your paycheck," or according to what your last name is, or what family you were born into, or what part of the world you were born into, or what culture. I don't remember that. But I do remember, "My God will supply all my needs according to His riches in glory." Amen. See, when you're a faith person and you're not moved by these things, you know it's coming from it'll come from somewhere else then. If it's not going to come from my paycheck, it'll come from somewhere else. I mean, God dropped manna from heaven. He took water out of a rock. Yeah, He fed the prophet by the ravens, brought him food. I mean, stop boxing in. God, it's like people that are on Social Security or maybe they're on a certain fixed income. They say, "My income's fixed." I heard the prophet of God say this, and I'll repeat it after him. He said, "Who fixed your income? Why are you saying your income's fixed?" Oh, you're saying that God is limited to that box that you've put him in with your monthly paycheck? I guess God wasn't limited to feed the prophet when He brought the ravens by, because that's not how normal people get food. Normal people don't get manna from heaven, but they needed it, and so God did it. Normal people don't get water from a rock. People would say, "Well, you know, there's no well. There's no running water here. There's no way we can get water." Boxing God in. "There's no way God can meet my needs unless this happens with my paycheck. And how am I going to do anything more? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that?" You're boxing God in. You're boxing God in. Stop doing that. The Bible says nothing is impossible to them who believe. I remember coming here in South Dayton, and I'll tell you, starting a church in South Dayton is interesting. It just is. When you look on Wikipedia and they tell you there's only 600 people in this town, it can mess with your mind. It can. It can mess with your mind because, say, "Well, you know, we're going to be in that building forever, over there where the heat was bad, and, you know, the smell and the skunk smell." I mean, we could go on and on about that building. And I remember thinking, "Well, man, Lord, you know, with how many people are coming, because you can't build a building unless there's people to pay for it." And when you know there's only 600, I mean, I'll tell you, it's a lot better to start a church in a town of 60,000. Naturally, right? Because it's bigger. I mean, praise the Lord, Pastor Tim's got like 30-some thousand people just in Jamestown to pull from. We got 600. Not fair. He just must think I have more faith. I'm just kidding. That's a joke, by the way. Praise the Lord. And so I remember that and being starting to box God in and thinking, "How are we ever going to get out of that building?" And it kept coming to me. I'm the God who parted the Red Sea. I'm the God who saved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, and they didn't have a hair on their body burn. And this kept coming to me. I'm the God who David stood before a giant, a man of war, who David killed without even using any war equipment or anything, but a single rock in a slingshot. I'm the God that delivered Daniel out of the mouths of lions. I'm the God that took that took Joseph and elevated him to over all Egypt. I'm that God. Praise the Lord. And that just kept coming to me. All these things. I'm the God that gave Abraham a child when he was 100 and his wife was 90. And so I'd start saying, Lord, I thank you for our own building in South Dayton. I wouldn't worry because the offering amounts would tell me there's no way you can pay for a mortgage and for the renovations on a new building or whatever, however route we were going to go. At the time, I didn't know the route. And the natural said there's no way that could happen. But I stopped putting God in that box and started saying, Lord, if I would just believe you, anything is possible. And I'd start saying, Lord, you're the God that parted the Red Sea. You're the God that's going to give us a new building in South Dayton. Praise the Lord. And you mark my words, we will have our own building in Olean with our own parking lot. And it will happen. Glory to God. Because God is faithful. But people, they don't know God. And so when these tests and trials come, they sulk. They get discouraged. Now listen, I'm telling you, I've been there. I've had to repent for these kinds of things. They get discouraged. They start talking wrong. They get bitter. Do you know that I have seen over, and it's so good to hear other pastors talk about it, so that means I know I'm not on this little island going through this myself. Again, that's what the devil wants you to think. But remember, what you're going through, it's common. It's common. There's billions of people on the earth. It's common. And it's interesting. I'll have people that I will help with the Word of God concerning their finances. And, the same thing I'll tell them about their finances. I'll tell them the same exact thing when their finances are going good, and I'll tell them the same exact thing when their finances are going bad, right? What? Obey God, walk in love, and believe God, right? And I go through the scriptures of different things. But I find this, is that when people go through hardcore tests, all of a sudden they start to bite the hand that feeds them. I've seen it. I've seen people get bitter at me. I've seen people get resentful at me and get mad because their situations change, and so now I become the object of their anger. And the whole time, I'm the one in their corner. I'm the one saying, listen, this is how you're going to get out of this. And everybody else around them, Brother Hagin had an interesting story once. There was a woman whose husband passed away. And, she was broken up about this for a long time, longer than she probably should have been with renewing her mind. And she'd get around ministers, and they'd say, oh, you poor thing. Oh, this is so horrible. This is so terrible. And it'd get her crying and bring it back up. And she'd get around Brother Hagin, and Brother Hagin would say, what are you crying for? The Bible says to depart and be with Christ is far better. The Bible says to go home and be with Jesus is gain. Your husband is gained. Aren't you excited for your husband? And he would renew her mind to the Word, and she'd get full of faith, and she'd be rejoicing God because she was excited. She was excited that her husband was in heaven, that he's gained. His body's not broken down anymore. His mind's renewed. He's restored in every area. And then she'd get around other people. And it's so funny to be, people go on tests and trials, they run to the wrong voices. And she'd get around these ministers. Who am I talking about? Your family? Who am I talking about? Your friends? Who am I talking about? Wrong people that are not in your corner telling you the truth of what you need to hear. And so she'd get around these people and they'd say, oh, you poor thing. And it'd bring her right back into it. And she'd get around Brother Hagin and say, what's wrong with you? The Bible says to die is gain, to depart and be with Christ is far better. And she'd get full of faith according to the Word of God. Now see, she understood, listen, he's not being unsympathetic to me. See, there's a time to grieve, but God doesn't want people grieving their whole life and being miserable their whole life. He wants people to move on and enjoy. And if we really put it in the mindset of, man, they're in heaven. I wouldn't want them back here if I could get them back here, because that would be selfish on our part, because they've gained something better. And so he's pumping her full of Word now. Thank God there's a temptation for her to get offended and say, oh, you don't care about me. But no, she knew the voice in her corner was the one getting her through the situation. And I find when people go through stuff, they'll start running other people. They'll get bitter at their pastor. I'll start seeing them less and less on Sundays. People telling me, Pastor, I'm with you. You're not getting me to go anywhere. Poof, gone like the wind. It's true. Why? The test revealed how well they knew God. You see, they're all pumped up about having a pastor and going to church, not forsaking. You know, the Bible commands you to go to church, right? Yeah. It's not an option. Yeah. Jesus said, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, because it's going to get darker out there. And if you stay out there, the darkness is going to get you. But come in here where it's light and life is being preached. Hallelujah. And it's funny to me that people, when things are going good, they love being in church, they love amen, and they love praising God. They love the fact that they need a pastor. They'll honor their pastor. They'll bless their pastor. They'll encourage their pastor. And then when trouble comes to their doorstep, the demeanor changes. Everything changes. You don't hear the encouragement. You don't hear the thank you, pastor, for the message. It changed my life. They're so focused on themselves, they forget everything else. And it reveals how well they know God. Amen. It's true. Hallelujah. Go to Daniel 11 and verse 32. Daniel 11. And that's on page 896. Of course, that was a joke that didn't go over well. But that's the page that's on my Bible. Daniel 11 and verse 32. Just trying to save you time, telling you the page it's on. Praise God. Now here we go. Daniel is towards the back of the New Testament, or the Old Testament, and it's right before the book of Hosea and right before those books that get to Malachi. So just go to the beginning of the New Testament and back up a little bit. And it says this in Daniel 11 and verse 32 on page 896. It says, "And such do wickedly against the covenant, shall he corrupt by flatteries?" But notice this. Look at this end statement. "But the people that do know their God shall be" what? "Strong." You see, you can't get out of the tests and trials. Let me just tell you, Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation. You will. There's a devil that hates your life. He hates what you're called to. He hates the effect you can have on your family. He hates the effect you can have on your friends. You will not be able to avoid tests and trials on this earth. But how you handle those tests and trials, you can determine your outcome. You can. Because the Bible says that if you know God, you'll be strong. Now, those people that are weak when the tests and trials come and they beat against them, you can see they're not strong because they fall to it. They succumb to the pressure. They're less and less in church. They pull back on their giving. They pull back on their love walk. They're bitter towards everyone. They're not full of joy. You can see it on their face. You can hear it in their words. Why? They're not strong. Why? Because they don't know God. See, when you know God, you know every stinking thing in your life's going to work out. When you know God, you might not understand. I'm not saying you have to know the problem or the test or know the answer or know why. But when you know God, you know, I don't know why this is happening. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I know it will because I know my God. It's true. It's true. And the people that know God will be strong and do exploits. Woo, that fires me up. What's an exploit? A great thing. Doing wonderful things for God. You are not meant to be a bump on a log in a church seat on a Sunday and a Wednesday. You are meant to do great exploits for God. And I'll just give you a preview. There's a message coming about how every single Christian in the body of Christ is anointed for service for the Lord. And that when you don't do it, you're slapping Jesus in the face and his kingdom's not being advanced. You have an anointing on your life to do great exploits, but you won't do that if you don't know God. Because every little test and trial, you see, you have to understand, the Bible says there's a great door in effectual, or a great door of opportunity open to us, but there's many adversaries there. If you try to, you think that starting a church here in South Dayton came without opposition? Do you think going and starting a church in Olean is going to come without opposition? But see, what happens is when God tries to increase you, and you start going into that way of increase, and start going into that place of more, don't be alarmed when the tests and trials come, and then back away from it. That's why I tell people that just start getting faithful to church. Get ready for hell on earth to break out in your life. Because the devil is so upset that you're finally in the place that's going to cause you to grow and cause you to be blessed. And the people that recognize that and know God by knowing I need to be here, they're the ones that will be strong and do great exploits. Hallelujah. So it pays to know God. Hallelujah. We have to know God. Well, I know this. I can't know somebody without spending time with them. You can't. You know, I remember when I first met my wife, I was playing down at high school down in Warren. My senior year, I transferred down there. They had a much better baseball team, which was cool. And the school she went to, Sheffield, Pennsylvania, was very small. They didn't have a baseball team. And so a few guys from our baseball team actually went to Sheffield School. There was an agreement between the schools. that allowed them to come and play on the Warren team. And so she was there watching her friends play. And I remember the first time I saw her. Now, I usually tell that people that she couldn't resist me in the uniform. But the truth is I couldn't resist her in her long hair. Let's just be honest about it. And so, but anyways, we had a connection there. And man, we would spend hours upon hours on the phone. Why? Getting to know each other. I remember early on in our relationship, she went to Maryland to go to college. Well, I didn't have a car. All I had was a motorcycle, which I didn't even have my motorcycle license, and it was February. But I wanted to know her more, so I needed to spend time with her. So I drove my motorcycle in February without a license to see her, 6.5 hours away to see her. Came back. I found a stretch of weather where it wasn't supposed to be snowy. It was in the 30s. It was the worst ride of my life. But on the way home, it actually snowed while I was riding my bike. And I'll tell you what, I couldn't walk for a week. I mean, let me say it this way. I couldn't walk good for a week. I mean, I pulled every muscle in my leg and leg area that there is known to man, because I was just straddling that bike, just squeezing for dear life because I was so cold. But you know what? It was worth knowing her. It was worth getting to know her. You see, Lord, you're so faithful. We just love you, Father. We love you tonight. It's worth coming to church on Sundays and Wednesdays and special guest meetings because you want to know God more intimately. You see, I should say it this way. People think they can do this on their own. Listen, Pastor, I have a Bible. Well, that would be okay if God said he didn't put ministry gifts in your life to get you to a better place. Real quick, go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. We're just following the Spirit right now and wherever he wants to go here. Listen, I'm all for personal time in the Word. Absolutely. I'm all for listening and making your car a Bible school, making your house a Bible school, and listening to the Word. I'm all for those things. But the Bible says there's ministry gifts placed into your life. And part of them, those ministry gifts, what they'll do is they'll get you to a better knowledge of God and knowing Him. In 4 verse 11, it says, He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. Let me ask you, if a saint is perfected, would you say that they're strong? Yeah. Absolutely. Would you say that, that's an easy conclusion to come to, right? If they're perfected, they must be strong. Well, the reason that they're strong and perfected is because they know God on a deeper level. Why? Because God has put people in their lives that have an anointing on their life. And again, I'm not bragging on Pastor Mike Anderson, the person. We all know some of the things of his past. But I do, like the Apostle Paul says, I magnify my office. And a lot of times, a lot of us here have come from places that have not taught us the Bible. And they've not taught us honor. And they've not taught us the idea of how much we need this. See, this came into my spirit years ago. I know I need a pastor. There ain't nothing. That is one relationship, along with my wife, that you are not going to separate me from as my pastor. I don't, and to be honest with you, if my wife left the faith, sayonara, I'm not leaving where I'm supposed to be in God. I'm not, my life depends on having a pastor. Not my life depends on having Michael Laketic. My life depends on having the gift that's on Michael Laketic's life. And see, there's an anointing on your pastor's life to stand in an office, to preach and teach God's word, the exact things that you're going through in your situations. Why can people say, boy, that's exactly what I'm going through? How did you know that happened? Well, it's the anointing on my life. It's not because of me. It's because of what God has placed there. And see, so many times we belittle that, and we think, well, I can just read my Bible, or church attendance isn't that important. No. It has to be that this is your lifeline, that I need to be. You know, the people that came to the Durant meetings were increased. And finally, I gave Reverend Scott back his little thing, so now he can put him online for us. It hasn't been his fault. It's been my fault. I didn't get it back to him quick enough. But if you went to those meetings and you availed yourself to them, you got something. And you increased. Why? They stand in an office. They're anointed to bless you, to bring you to that place of perfection. See, when people avoid these meetings, they avoid church, they don't get that perfecting that God says is theirs. And then they don't know God. Can I just be completely honest with you? There's a temptation to want to tell people, when they tell me their problems, to say, you know what? I dealt with that exact issue on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. I dealt with that exact issue last Wednesday. Where were you? That's the temptation. I'm a loving pastor. I'm sweet and I'm kind about things. But you know, the lack of value of growing and knowing God. I can't know God as good as I can without my pastor. I can't know God as good as I can without people like Brother Hagin, without the DeFranes, without Brother Chris D'Amico, without the Durants, without Pastor Scott Webb, without these ministers. I can't know God. Why? Because they know God more than me. And I know my job is to get around people that know more than myself. I'm okay admitting that I don't know it all. Are you okay with admitting that? Are you okay with admitting that you need somebody in your life to take you to a higher level? Because if you're not okay with that, you're going to have problems. I have no problem standing up in front of the planet Earth and saying, I need my pastor. I need to be in church. I need to know God on a deeper level. Praise God. And we don't value these things. And it all goes back to, just so you know, I had none of this on my notes concerning Ephesians 4. It's just coming out by the Spirit of God that we need to, in our lives, start placing a value on these things. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6. Praise the Lord. Placing a value on the things of God. Now, don't get me wrong. If my pastor started saying that Jesus wasn't the Savior and that he's forsaking God, listen, my relationship with my pastor is contingent on him staying with the Bible. And that's what you're... Listen, nobody's telling you, follow your pastor like a... drink the Kool-Aid here. Nobody's telling you that this is a cult and to be blind. And you know what keeps you safe and what keeps you okay and safe is the Word of God. When the Word is... That's why when I tell you, listen, the God's going to speak in your heart an amount to give... Can I miss God? Sure can, but I know I'm not missing God on this. And it was confirmed Sunday morning. But the reason I can say that with confidence is because I have scripture that backs up God speaking to people specifically. We have scripture on God telling you, you can give as your heart desires, but we also have precedent in the Word of God where the Lord speaks things to give certain people on their heart, things to give. And so, listen, if I start standing up here and saying anything apart from the Word, my goodness, hightail it out of here, right? The Bible keeps us grounded. The Bible keeps us safe. And so as long as my pastor goes with the Word and the Spirit, man, I will be so loyal to him. And I'll tell you what, even if my pastor's straight, I wouldn't throw him under the bus. You understand what I mean by that? I wouldn't just kick. I'd try to find out what's going on and help to love him. And, you know, it wouldn't be my job to restore him, obviously. It'd be someone above him. But it'd be my job to love on him and not just forsake him. Boy, people are so willing just to kick people right under the bus or to kick them when they're down. But my loyalty and my faithfulness is all dependent and hinged on this, the Bible. Amen? And that's what we need to stick to. But we know that those people that know God will be strong and do great exploits. Matthew 6 and verse 33 says, Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God, or God's way of doing things, and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. All the things what? That we're trying to get acquired in our lives, the things that we need, the things that we're believing God for. We could spend a whole lot less time believing God for these things, worrying about these things, pacing the floor about these things, laying in bed at night, rehearsing it in our mind, if we would just put our focus on Him. Amen. Yeah, it's true. Hallelujah. And you need somebody in your life to help you know God better than what you can know Him. Why? Because people are going to grow. As they grow in the Word, God will give people more. For example, my pastor has way more experience than me. He's grown in things. God has, because God can trust him, because he's been in it more years, been more faithful, God can show him things. You know, when Brother Hagin died, he left by saying to people, there's much I'd like to tell you, but I can't. What's that telling me? Somebody that had many years in the Lord knew a lot more than a lot of people knew. Why? He knew more. He's somebody that could help people and grow into those things. What am I trying to say? There's people that know more than you that you need in your life. Hallelujah. And so my pastor, he gets things revealed to him. He gets things shown in the Word. He gets experiences in the Spirit that God can trust him with because he's been faithful for years, that he can now share with me from the pulpit or from in a mentoring session, and I can learn and I can know more about God. I can become stronger and I can do more exploits because I know God better. I place a value on being where he is. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I want to just thank you and commend you for being here tonight. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. You know, I know that the Lord has said there's going to be increase in people in this church, and I've known that. And it was good to get that confirmed, but I've known that. But to see the Wednesday night crowd getting bigger and bigger is exciting to me, because you're placing a value and an emphasis on your growth and on your ability to know God more and on your ability to be successful and your ability to be a faith giant and your ability to be a blessing to people. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, let's finish with Philippians 4 and verse 19, and we'll close. Praise the Lord. You know, I was talking to a minister in Canada. You know what he said to me? It's so true. He said, Pastor Mike, now let me first preface by saying this, and this isn't me apologizing for God's word. I understand life happens, and I understand that things come up, but I also understand this. That you make time for what you love. Amen. You will make time for what's important to you. You want to know why? I am so busy all year round, but for some reason when hunting season comes, I'm able to be in a tree. Now it's less and less because I'm getting busier and busier, but I make time for that. Why? I love to do it. Why? I say it this way. Let's just be completely open here tonight and unoffendable. How is it since 2002... I can stand before you and tell you without a shadow of a doubt, I have never missed a church service unless I was out of town on a vacation, out of town on a church conference, or an emergency has come up. How can I stand here and say that? Is it because for some reason my life's not as busy as yours? For some reason I don't have as much going on? No, it's none of those things. It's because that is the center of my existence. Without that, everything else crumbles. Without that, everything else that I want to do falls down. My finances will suffer. My body will suffer. My family will suffer. My businesses will suffer. My whatever will suffer in my life, because this is not the center. This needs to be the beacon, the flashing light, and everything comes out from that. It's true. It's true, praise God. And people, and this is what that minister said to me, said, if I could just get people to go to church, if I could just, now see, I'm talking to the choir here tonight. You're all here. Amen. Well, let's hope the ones that are listening by live stream will get something. He said, if I could just get people to go to church and just go there. See, what you don't understand is happening is you might not think anything's happening to you right now, but your spirit's being watered. And just like when you go out and water those flowers, or just like the little kid with the styrofoam cup puts that little seed down in there and dumps a little water on there. Even though they can't see it, and it seems so normal, it seems so just repetitive to dump that water on there, something's happening. And over time, growth is seen outwardly. And the more that you'll submit yourself, and that really is what it comes down to, is submission. To say, Lord, I agree with you. Remember Job 22 and verse 21 in the Amplified where it says, acquaint yourself with God? It says, agree with God. See, if you acquaint yourself with God, you know about him. And he doesn't want you just to know about him. He wants you to agree with him. If he says you need ministers, you need to be in church, you need to be watered, just agree with that. What is agreeing with that? Submitting. Submit to God. Submit to God, right? And be there for your growth. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you'll be watered, and you walk out of here thinking, man, it doesn't seem like much happened. But over time, it'll be evident to all. I remember Pastor Tim one time talking about my life, and I'm not bragging about myself, but I'll tell you what, if my family would look at my life, it was awesome. I was in the hospital hallway the other day. I was visiting my dad, and I saw a person from my past. And I was with another family member who I wish would come to church, and I wish would get in back into the things of God. They were once real hungry for God, and they're not so much anymore. Just kind of praying for that situation to change. And I saw this person. He said, and he stopped me. He said, "I am so amazed at the work God did in your life." And Pastor Tim, so when I say this, I'm bragging on God. You'd have to know, I mean, I was the one that would drive in the middle of a winter storm to Casino Niagara to sit there and to drink and to gamble all my money away in the middle of a winter storm. The one that was a promiscuous lifestyle, who wasn't the best morally, who would put anything in his body just to ease the pain. Foul mouth. You talk about a foul mouth, man, I had a foul mouth. I was an interesting character. But God has changed it. And Pastor Tim one time said this. There's a scripture that talks about how the Holy Ghost is like the wind. You can't see it. You don't know where it came from. But you see the effects of it. You see the effects of it because you see the effects of the wind, but the trees blow. That the trees blowing isn't the wind. It's the effects of the wind, right? Your hair getting all messed up, that's not the wind. It's the effects of the wind. You can't see the wind. You say, oh, the trees are blowing. There's the wind. No. You're seeing the effects of the wind. And Pastor Tim said, that's like for you, Pastor Mike. He had a word for me in service years ago. He said, that's what's like, your life is like the wind. No, people don't understand it, but they can see the effects of it openly. You can't deny that God is working in my life. And if you'll just submit, as I have, if you'll just submit to God, find yourself watered under the word, being faithful in church, over time, it will become apparent. It'll become apparent in your relationships. It'll become apparent in your finances. It'll become apparent in your body. It'll become apparent in every area of your life. God wants to invade and affect every area of your life. He doesn't want to leave one off to the side or just leave this alone. Every area, God wants the abundant life for you. Every single area. And over time, it'll show that. Over time, it'll show that. But Philippians 4:19, and we'll close here. So get acquainted with God. How do you get acquainted with God? Well, I thought we were going to focus more on being in the Word tonight, but it was more about being where you need to be when you're supposed to be there. And that's what the Holy Ghost wanted to say. So whatever you want. But look at what this verse says here. You need to meditate on this, and you need to focus on this verse, and you need to get this verse so alive in you and so real in you so that's not just a Sunday morning scripture we bring up every once in a while, but that it is in you. But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And you need to focus on the but my God, make Him personal to you. My God, who's the same God that did this and this and this and this. He wants to meet all my needs. That way when tests and trials come your way, you know God. When you can walk into work and have your boss come up to you tomorrow and say, I'm sorry, your position has just been axed out of the budget. You have no income as of today, right now. You can smile and you can walk out of that place and say, praise God, my needs weren't met by that paycheck anyways. My needs weren't met by that. And I'll tell you what, that's an awesome place to be because then you're not relying on people. Then you're not relying on an economy. You're relying on an unchanging, steady God who never moves, who never changes, who never has a down day, who never has an up and down economy, who never has an empty wallet, who never is in a bad mood. And when your faith is in that God, that is such a relief. You know, when certain people have got offended, I still have not found one person that's ever left the church that because they weren't offended. I haven't found one person. They didn't agree with something in the Bible or a situation happened in their life. I've never, ever, that I can remember, in all the years I was at Jamestown, I remember one couple sat down and said, the Lord's going to pay, or we're getting a better, more paying job up in this area of the country. They said, or this area of the state. So what church are you going to go to? Oh, we'll figure that out when we get there. Here God's blessing them in this church, and they put more of a priority on getting that paycheck, and they don't even know where they're going to get fed. See, they think that they have more value on the money. Listen, I have more value on my God. Who cares about the money? Praise the Lord. But what a freeing thing. But anyways, when people get offended and leave, of course, naturally, it takes a hit on the church finances. Well, I'm kind of like the CEO of the church. I got to make sure there's enough money to pay the bills. And there's that temptation when people leave and you see the offering amounts going down, temptation to, oh my gosh. But then I remember, wait a second. The needs of this church are not met by them. They're met by my God. And He'll make it come in another way. Just like I told you, checks for $65,000 came in unexpectedly to pay for this building. Yeah, or we wouldn't have it. We wouldn't have it. So you need to get your faith off your paycheck. You need to get your faith off your body. You need to get your faith off doctors. Yeah, I'll say that. That's for somebody. Now listen, doctors aren't bad. Doctors are not bad. Luke was a physician, right? Doctors aren't bad. But if your whole faith is just in the doctor, listen, my faith is in my God working through the doctors. Hallelujah. Amen. My faith's not in my paycheck. It's not in the doctors. My faith's not in my spouse. Yeah, people are so reliant. You know, it's like, I'll just say it this way. If Courtney up and left me, and if I up and left Courtney, we'd both be sad. We'd both be hurt by it. But I'll tell you what, we know God, and so our life wouldn't it wouldn't be the end of us, is what I'm trying to say. God's my supply, not my wife. And the more you have your mind and your thoughts and your hopes in people, the more you'll be let down. People will cause you to be in rough places. They will. Look at Joshua. Look what happened to Joshua. His brothers caused him to be in a rough place, didn't he? Man of God caused people around him. What about when Potiphar's wife accused him of having sexual relations with him and he didn't do it? Another, got him thrown into jail for years. A person put him in a bad place. Thank God his faith wasn't in people, but his faith was in God. Your faith should not be in your job, your paycheck, your employer. And if you know God, you can get fired. You can have your income stop. You can be told something at the doctor. And you can walk out of there, skip to Malou, my darling, just singing and praising God. Lord, I don't know how it's going to work, but boy, it's sure going to be exciting to see how it does. And it'll come from somewhere. It'll come somewhere from the east, the west, the south, the north. It'll come. It'll come. Yeah. If you know God, if you know, and how do you know him? You submit to yourselves. In services like this, but also you spend time in his word and in verses like that until it becomes a reality, until the reaction that you have when the devil starts pushing, the word of God comes out of you. God. If I dip a sponge in grape Kool-Aid and I press on it, milk's not coming out. I know that's a revelation. What's going to come out of it is what's getting put into it. And the devil, when he starts pushing on you, what's in you is going to come out of you. You have no watering, no word. You're dry and blah, and dry and miserable is going to come out. But you're under the anointing of God. You've submitted to God's plan of the pastor and these ministers, and you've submitted to the word of God, and the devil starts pushing, and the power of God comes out of you. Yeah, praise God. Amen. So let's know him. Let's get acquainted with him. Hallelujah. How? Being in church, being in his word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Hey, that's neat. Praise the Lord. Never seen that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we love you tonight. We glorify you. We praise you. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your